Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome once again to The Steve Jones Show. Steve joining us from the Sunbury Motors Studio shortly, taking your calls on the Lenape Solar Hotline at 1-800-795-9565. That number again, 1-800-795-9565. Our webpage is stevejonesshow.com. There you will find a host of interesting information, including our latest question on the poll. Do you? If not, I do. I play it. Let's put it that way. It doesn't necessarily mean I'm any good at it, but I do play it. I also play some fantasy baseball, which I'm awful at for some strange reason. Maybe it's because there's just too many players to keep track of. But anyway, there is some baseball going on this afternoon. The Phillies are actually ahead of Cincinnati, bottom of the eighth inning. The Phillies lead that 6-1 with Cincinnati at bat in the bottom of the eighth. Mets by one over St. Louis, 2-1. That's in the bottom of the fourth now. Top of the third, the White Sox lead Minnesota by a score of 4-1. White Sox have two on right now in the top. I'm sorry, Minnesota actually has two on in the top of the third. So that's the scores from Major League Baseball. What's going on tonight? Convention? Yeah, that's what. No, of course not. The convention is going on tonight, but of course it's football. It's time for the NFL season to get underway officially with Dallas and the New York Giants coming up tonight at 8:30, and it will be with replacement officials. So you'll be seeing. Steve thinks you're going to see a little bit different, and we'll probably talk about this here in a few minutes. You'll see a little bit more, maybe tentative calls, because these guys are not necessarily used to the NFL style speed. I mean, and I'll tell you what, I think you see a little bit of difference from the preseason to the regular season as well. So where some of these guys in the third and fourth quarter are not with teams anymore because they couldn't keep up with the speed of the game or what have you, now you're going to see four quarters of really, really fast players and quick action, and it's going to be a real test on these replacement officials. I'm not saying they're not able to do it. I'm just saying that's just the facts of it. Now, the Eagles will be taking on Cleveland this weekend. You can hear that game on one of our sister stations, Eagle 107. Pregame getting underway at noon. Kickoff is set for 1 o'clock in Cleveland. And later on in the weekend to wrap up the first week of play, at least on Sunday, the Steelers will take on the Denver Broncos. 8:20 starts Sunday night. And then it's two Monday night games as they open up the Monday night schedule, both with an East Coast game and a West Coast game. The East Coast game is Cincinnati-Baltimore at 7, a little bit earlier than normal. And then San Diego-Oakland is nightcap at 10:15 on the West Coast. So that's a look at the NFL schedule of interest for the coming first week of the season. If you have not gotten your lineups in yet for fantasy football, you'll probably want to do that here shortly. A story I came across, and being a big open wheel guy, I thought this was a rather interesting story. I'm very familiar with Alex Zanardi. He raced in kart and IndyCar for a long time. He was involved in an accident years ago in Germany. Actually, it was back right around this time in 01. It was September 15th, 2001, when he was in Germany. It was one of the few races that actually went on after the September 11th terrorist attacks. And he was starting 22nd in the race in a field of 27. The car was doing really, really well, passing one car after another. Until about 13 laps to go, he was actually in the lead. He went into his final pit stop, and the crew chief waved him off, urging him to just go. But as he built up speed to get back into the race, the car kind of spun out of control and veered back onto the track. And that's where Canadian driver and current IndyCar driver Alex Tagliani, traveling about 200 miles an hour, couldn't avoid him. And the reinforced carbon fiber cone of Tagliani's car sliced through the area beside Zanardi's front wheel and cockpit, the weakest part of the vehicle, and actually severed his leg. So he actually lost his legs in the accident. And the reason I bring this up now is not because of the, you know, the time period of being in September, but the 45-year-old who almost died in that horrific kart race in Germany back in 01 actually won a gold medal in the Paralympics on Wednesday today in paracycling. It's a handheld cycle power cycle powered by your arms. And he started doing it just basically for the fact that he wanted to build up his strength and so forth. And he represented Italy, his home country, in the Paralympics earlier today and won a gold medal in the hand cycle powered vehicle. Hand cycling is basically what they call it. Basically, he took up paracycling to stay in shape, and the hand cycle is powered by the arms, features two coasting rear wheels, one steerable front wheel, and he got involved in it, just as I said, to stay in shape, and ended up liking it a lot, and then ended up winning a gold medal earlier today in the Paralympics. Alex Zanardi. So I thought it was a little interesting story, and I wanted to share that with you. Steve will be joining us from the Sunbury Motor Studio here in just a moment. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. You can follow Steve at Twitter, at Steve Jones PSU. That's at Steve Jones PSU. That's our Twitter feed. Facebook available, too. If you have any questions and you can't call in, you're more than welcome to post them on Facebook. Just do that by searching Steve Jones Show on the Facebook search engine. And you can always email stevejones@wkok.com.
Congratulations. Now that you've gone to Sunbury Motors, that vehicle of your dreams is now a reality. To keep it running at its absolute best, you can rely on the experts at Sunbury Motors Service Department. They offer a wide range of car repairs and service up, treat transmission service, brakes, or even engine repair. Sunbury Motor Company has you covered. From the smallest item all the way up to the largest, the service department at Sunbury Motor Company will do it all with the same attention to detail. Visit sunburymotors.com to use their handy schedule service to make your next appointment. Or call 888-536-8017. Sunbury Motor Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Fabulous. Well, welcome to the show. Kevin Herr alongside, just being who he is.
Just doing what I do.
What is that exactly?
I knew you were going to say that. I knew it. I knew I left the door open and it was too late to close it.
Just asking. Just wanted to know.
My own edification.
Just wondering. Well, I mean, I know
out in the station and how much people respect you. It was close, but you won.
Great. That's good. I haven't won many things, so I was happy I won something.
Oh, I didn't say you finished first.
Oh.
All right.
So are you able to watch the entire game tonight?
No.
I knew it.
Nope. What do you mean you knew it? What does that mean?
You're always busy. That's all I meant.
Well, it's the last game of the season tonight.
Oh, see, I thought that was last night for some reason.
No. One more tonight. I have to hand out awards tonight. Before the game, I have to hand out awards. It was interesting seeing Starling Marte here last night. He's got a long way to go. He struck out three times. They pinch hit for him, and the dude came through, but didn't come out with a world war.
Amazing, says Bill O'Reilly.
Right. I did know that.
It's up.
The NFL's nope. Tonight. Cowboys and Giants. I will be there in time. Time it out.
Kickoffs at 8:30.
I wouldn't doubt I get that. I am there by halftime.
Oh, well, that's not bad.
No, that's not bad. And I'm looking forward to that. So that'll be this tonight at 8:30. contrary to what you may have seen on SportsCenter, the team in New York that happens to be the world champions are actually, that's the Giants.
Are you referring to coverage of Rex Ryan's crew?
Yes. Rather extensive. Extensive coverage of that crew. Wow.
What did he say earlier today that I thought is in true Rex Ryan fashion? I know I'm a good coach. Yeah, I know I'm a great coach.
Really?
That's what he says.
Wow.
How many guarantees really? has he made, and how many of them have come through?
Now, he's been to the AFC Championship game twice. Now, let's be at least somewhat fair about it, okay? Let's be somewhat fair about it. I know where you're going. I understand what you want to say. Right? But he has been to two AFC Championship games, and he's done so with an inexperienced quarterback. Correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, let me read the whole quote, because I did take that out of context. Like, so I'm going to give you the whole quote here. I know I'm a great coach. I know I'm a great coach, and what makes me a great coach is the guys that coach with me and the guys that played for me. It's hard for me to look at myself as not being successful. I don't see that as a possibility. One day, maybe 10 years from now or 15 years from now, when Woody Johnson wants to go in a different direction, and that's fine.
Oh, wow.
So, could I mean, it serious. Doesn't sound as bad when you throw the rest of the sentences. And then he comes in with the second sentence, and then it goes right back to sounding bad again.
He does have that ability to his credit. I mean, he does have that ability to his credit to suddenly make it sound bad. But it's Rexy. And then his brother, Rob, twin brother Rob, of course, is the defensive coordinator for the Cowboys. And that's not a pretty sight either. I mean, Dallas has had mediocre defenses in recent years.
Oh, breaking news. Phillies beat Cincinnati 6-2. Halladay gets the win.
Okay. Phillies have been playing well, right?
Yeah, now that they're eliminated.
You're a bitter guy.
Yes.
You're a bitter guy. Why are you so bitter?
I defected down the road. I've got a couple of friends who are Orioles fans, so I'm going to root for the Orioles for them.
You're rooting for the Orioles now.
Well, not permanently.
Not permanently.
No, I'm rooting for the Orioles because I have friends that are Orioles fans, so I want to support them.
Really?
Sure.
Wow.
No, wait. You mean to tell me you've never rooted for another team when your team's out because, you know, you want to support your friends that are going to be rooting for them?
No. I never have.
Friend. You're not a good friend, then.
Well, you already knew that.
True.
Hey, you're such a bitter guy.
When was the last time Baltimore in September was at the top of the American League East?
I would probably go back, I want to say 97. How about that?
No, I don't know. I'm just asking.
I remember they played the Cleveland Indians in the playoffs. So, I do remember that. Our number 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565, Lenape Solar Hotline. Let's see. Still Belton for Saturday, still not sure about Stephon Morris for Saturday. So we're playing a little waiting game right now to a couple of guys. So that's where we are at this particular point. If Stephon Morris cannot go, then it would be Daquan Davis, the freshman. And if Bill Belton can't go, it would be Derek Day, Akeel Lynch, and Curtis Duke, Zach Zwinak. Those four would have to go. They, I think, can run the football against Virginia. I think they can run the football against Virginia. I'll take a longer look at the tape later, but that's what I think. I've seen some of the Virginia tape. I saw some of the breakdowns of Virginia from Richmond and Auburn and Florida State and Virginia Tech. So I saw some of the breakdowns on them. And I think you might be able to run the ball and you might be able to get to the edge against them. Now to answer all your Marist questions, go ahead, Kevin.
Well, Marist has a really good quarterback in Chucky Looney who can throw and run, and that's very, very dangerous, as many Bucknell fans have known from last season, because he did move the ball on Bucknell.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. So there you go. There's your
I just love his name, though.
Let's see. The only thing I worry about a name is if the sucker's pronounceable.
Well, I can always mess that up too, so.
Well, I told you the Matt Lehman story, didn't I?
I don't think so.
I go up to Matt Lehman in practice last week, and I said, Matt, I said, you're obviously going to play. I said, is it Lehman or Lehman? He looks at me and says, oh, whatever. I said, no, not whatever. I said, when you sit down at the dinner table, what does your family prefer? He says, Lehman. I said, then that's what we'll call you. I said, it's not whatever. I said, it can't be whatever. I said, don't leave it to us to have your parents walk up to me and say, that's not how we say it.
Well, fortunately.
And of course, he scored a touchdown.
Yeah, fortunately, Chucky Looney is pretty easy to pronounce. But here's a guy last week against Bryan who had threw for two and ran for 92 yards. That's why I said he's a double threat that way.
Yeah, very much so. And Michael Rocco, whose dad, Frank, was the starting quarterback for the 1979 Liberty Bowl. All right. When Penn State beat Tulane 9-6, Frank Rocco Jr. was the starting quarterback. His son is the starting quarterback for Virginia. So I've known Mikey since he was a kid. He's developed into a good quarterback. His aunt lives two streets over from me. And his grandfather has already gone down there. And Frank still lives here in State College.
Where's his aunt live?
Two streets from me.
No, that's where his aunt lives.
Yeah, well, guess what? How do you spell aunt? I spell it.
I don't know. You tell me, New England dirt.
A-U-N-T, aunt.
I just love when you say that, though. Just can't help myself.
Well, that's very New England.
It is.
It's very New England. That's, you know, and it's also correct. So,
do you get in the car?
No, I don't know. The Boston accent ends right about the end of 495, maybe to Worcester.
I've been in Worcester. There's a lot of those accents in Worcester, I can tell you that.
After that, though, no. There are no accents after Worcester. New Hampshire? Southern New Hampshire, yes. Southern Maine, yes. Parts of Rhode Island, yes. Definitely Cape Cod all the way up through Boston to the North Shore. Yes. Once you get past Worcester, boom. I mean, even in Springfield. Doesn't matter. Number 1-800-795-9565. Jump in. Love to hear from you today on the Lenape Solar Hotline, powered by Lenape Solar. Go to LenapeSolar.com.
We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK. But first, the news at the bottom of the hour with Sarah Bartlett on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. As we move on this Wednesday afternoon, another big Rex Ryan day today. As Rexy once again has the ability to, even when taken out of context, still sound incredibly in love with Rex Ryan. Correct?
Oh, there's no question. I'd like to hear the tone of that audio too. That would be even better.
Yeah.
Well, because let's face it, you know, he's one of those guys that, you know, he's very intense when he talks to you anyway.
Oh, yeah, he very much so. Very much so.
If I find that, I'll play that for you, but I'm still looking.
Yeah, you might as well. Yeah, you might as well. Because I think everybody, it's always, I'll say this, one of the fun things about Rex Ryan is that he constantly has the ability just to keep on. I mean, he doesn't stop. Remember, we were talking the other day about about Alan Pinkett and how he wouldn't stop.
Right.
Well, he wouldn't stop. Well, that's Rexy on a daily basis. I mean, that's Rexy on a daily basis. And he just has that ability to always just keep on going. Now, let's get to some Penn State football. I want to talk a little bit about the youth of the football team. You know, I know it's week one, you know, and I understand that. And as I said before, one game doesn't make a season. One game doesn't make a program. But let's take a look at the offense. Allen Robinson caught all of three passes last year. And Allen Robinson caught nine passes in the opener, which goes to what we saw, by the way, from Allen Robinson in the preseason. That's how Allen Robinson played in the preseason. Shawnee Kersee caught five passes last year. I mean, that's it. Alex Kenney, except for like a two-play cameo appearance at defensive back a couple of times, has never played in a game before, and not on offense. So now, you know, and then you mix in Trevor Williams, who never played before. You know, Evan Lewis, who has seen just limited time. Okay. And Christian Kuntz, who has really hardly played. I think he's had one catch in his career. Now you go to the tight ends. There's been a lot of hope for what the tight ends can do in this offense. And I think the potential is there so that they can be really good down the road. Without a doubt. That they can be very good down the road. But Kyle Carter, who had seven catches in the opener, has never played in a game before. Redshirt freshman, had never played in a game. And he finally got an opportunity to play in the game for the first time on Saturday. Did pretty well. And I thought, you know, and I think performed very well. And so that's a guy that had never played before. Jesse James, true freshman, had never played in the game before. Matt Lehman, who caught a touchdown pass, had never played in a game before. And Gary Gilliam, who had been the starting tight end 2 years ago, had only played 4 games in his career at tight end. He'd been a defensive end the year before that. He hadn't played a game in 2 years. Now you mix in Donovan Smith, who had never played in a college game before. Then Miles Diefenbach, who had never played in a college game before. Matt Stankavage has played a lot of football. He's really good. And then you have John Urschel, who has had some starts in his career. Mike Farrell's played some, and Adam Gress has only played probably in 10 plays in his career. And Bill Belton had never started a tailback in his career. And on top of that, had only played in, I think, 7 games all of last year. And Derek Day, same thing, mostly on special teams. And, you know, of course, Keel Lynch didn't play. But that's how young the offense is. I mean, that's how young the offense is. And I think that the part that is left out is how young they are. That's how young they are when you put it out in those terms. Making excuses? No. But I am telling you exactly how young they are and where they are in the experience chain. Now, defense is a little different. Hill's had a lot of experience. Daquan Jones certainly has. Boblett's limited. James Terry certainly has had experience. Sean Stanley's had experience. Deion Barnes, it was his first game. Sarrell's trying to get himself back, obviously. And C.J. Olanian's had a limited experience. Like Carson's played a lot. Hodges has played a lot. Motti's played a lot. Hall's played a lot. Naeem Wortman had never played at all. And then... And Ben Klein had never played in a game before. Stephen Obeng Archibong only really on special teams. Malcolm Willis has played a lot. Stephon Morris has played a lot. Adrian Amos limited time last year. So I'm just going to give everyone a feel, by the way, as to what kind of football team it is in terms of the youth. Now we have Rexy from ESPN Radio in New York. This is from Monday on Labor Day.
You feel pressure to win this year? Do you think that your job is on the line, Rex?
Man, look, I know I'm a great coach. And what makes me a great coach is the guys that coach with me and guys that play for me. It's hard for me to look at my not being successful. I don't see that as even a possibility. So, you know, one day it might be 10 years from now or 15 years from now when Woody Johnson wants to go a different direction, then that's fine.
10, 15 years from now?
Yeah, right. Dream on, Rexy.
Well, he's interesting. Well, he's good for the game, to be honest with you. Because he does get people to watch and listen. Great quote. But it's interesting that... You know, of course, now they have, the Tebow thing is going to be a big problem for them. But again, here we are. Who are the world champions? The New York Giants. Who's had the quiet training camp? The New York Giants.
You think maybe that's why they went with the Tebow thing?
Them?
Yeah.
No, I think they had good reasons for it. To be honest with you, I think they had good reasons for it. I think one of the reasons they did it was because of the success Brad Smith had in the offense. Brad Smith had great success in that offense. And it was a great component they had
that a lot of people did not have. And because of the component they did not have, I think it really helped elevate what the Jets could do offensively, especially with an inexperienced Mark Sanchez as a quarterback. So he gave them that changeup that they needed to have in this offense. And so it gave them all of that. And I think that's what they're looking for in him. I don't think they were looking for somebody who was going to challenge Mark Sanchez to be the starting quarterback. Now, Sanchez, much to, I think, the chagrin of the organization, didn't have a great training camp.
That neither sure is not but, helping out his case.
Right, and that doesn't help. That doesn't help in all this, that he did not have a great training camp. So, I mean, and that, you know, I think they assumed that he could go out, win the job, do a great job with it, and then win it. They could incorporate Tebow, use him in a certain third down situation, use him in the red zone, you know, get that kind of, you know, because what made Brad Smith really effective, and he rarely did this, but Brad Smith was a former quarterback at Missouri. So Brad Smith knows how to, you know, knows how to throw the football, and he's throwing the football in pressure situations. So at least he gave you the threat that he was back there in the shotgun. He could take it in the Wildcat, and guess what? You know, for the most part, you thought he was going to run it, but there was also a big part of you that wasn't sure he was. So you couldn't gang up nine in the box. Tebow gives you that element. When Ronnie Brown ran the Wildcat in Miami, you could end up with nine in the box, even 10 in the box, because Ronnie Brown was not going to throw the football. He just wasn't going to throw it. Okay? So you knew he was good. Every time they lined up Wildcat, they ran. Well, Brad Smith was not like that. You'd line him up in the Wildcat, and you weren't sure he was going to run because he still is a guy that is a former college quarterback. Well, Tim Tebow's the same way. You line him up back there, and guess what? Former college quarterback. And because of that, you don't know what's going to happen. And that's where the mystery comes in. Now they have themselves a problem. And the problem is, what do you end up doing? You know, obviously Sanchez is going to start, but then what do you do?
No, if they don't throw a touchdown pass pretty soon, there's going to be a lot of calls for
it. Yeah, but look, if they go out and they throw three touchdown passes in the first game, this is what I always talk about the first game. The first game wipes out the preseason. Okay? The first game wipes out the preseason. If you go out and score 31 points after not scoring a point in the preseason, nobody cares. If you score 30 points a game in the preseason and get shut out in the opener, that's a problem because suddenly people care. And that's a big problem. The opener means everything to perception. What happens in the preseason, nothing. What was the Colts' record in the last 28 games that Peyton Manning was the preseason quarterback?
I have no idea.
4-24.
Really?
4-24 for Peyton Manning as the starting quarterback in the preseason for the Colts. Because they didn't care. They just got their work in and went to the next thing. That
That was the important part for them, getting the work in. Four and 24. So I take nothing out of the preseason. And I really take very little out of that third preseason game as well, other than the fact the guys played a while. Whatever you do in the opener is what sets the tone for your year. And it wipes out whatever else was going on. 1-800-795-9565. Back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this. Welcome back. About 5 minutes before the hour. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. As we work our way through a Wednesday afternoon, I'd like to hear from you at 1-800-795-9565. Giants and Cowboys play tonight. Opening game of the season. I think it's the first time in 55, 56 years that the NFL's played a regular season game on the Wednesday night. This was done at the request of the president. The president speaks to the Democratic National Convention tomorrow night. And he had requested this because he wanted to speak on a Thursday night. The NFL plays Thursday nights to open the season. And so they said yes. And so tonight it's going to be a Wednesday night game for the first time in over 50 years in the NFL, and that was done at the request of the president because he wanted to make a speech to the final night of the Democratic National Convention and have it be to make sure he wasn't opposite the NFL, which is smart because tonight Bill Clinton's going to speak and it's going to be a rumor because the NFL just draws such incredible ratings.
Is it NBC that has tonight's game?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, there's another reason is, you know, they wouldn't get any network coverage whatsoever at that point.
Right. Well, that's the point. I mean, but at the same time, yeah. Too, look, you're talking about going up against somebody's going to get a 30-plus rating. I mean, that's the issue. I mean, the issue is the 30-plus rating. And they're not going to get that. And I'm saying that just so everybody, you know, that's not political. I'm not saying anything political. I'm talking about actual TV ratings and what happens on TV. And
didn't the NFL primetime games or the network games actually make the top 10 list?
17 out of 20. 17 of the top 20 were NFL games.
For the preseason. The preseason games, right?
No, that's right. I'm just going for November. Oh, okay. I'm going November, February.
No, I thought there were a couple of preseason games that actually made the top 10 list past week or so.
Yeah, but the ratings money is made three times of the year, November, February, and May. Those are the three rating sweeps where you make the money. Well, in November, and obviously with the Super Bowl, guess what? You end up making a pile of money and get huge ratings, and that's why the Super Bowl is now in February. That's the reason why.
Yeah, there it is. NBC's NFL preseason game the week of August 20th was the number one show that week with a 6.2.
Right. Yeah, for that, yeah.
For that week,
but you're going to see with the regular season tonight 8:30.
Yeah, but that's a preseason game.
I understand.
You know, that's the thing that amazes me, beating out first run shows like, and one of the big shows NBC has is America's Got Talent. It beat that out twice, Tuesday and Wednesday.
Right, and see, and that, I mean, again, a meaningless preseason game draws a 6.2. That's the issue. Tonight they'll clear 30. I mean, tonight they'll clear 30 because it's the first game. It's the only thing going on. And even though it's an unfamiliar night, they'll still do very well with it. Well, we head to the second hour, 1-800-795-9565. Opening night for the NFL is tonight. Sarah, the news, top of the hour, News Radio 1070 WKOK.